So what I'm going to talk about is, it's actually an evaluation, an economic evaluation, but not the way you understand it in terms of benefits and costs and those sorts of things. It's really using a measure that's traditionally used in development economics and sort of adapting it for use in the health sector. So my presentation today is going to be on measles supplemental immunization activities that were conducted in Kenya in 2002. And their impact on vaccine coverage and equity. So I'll begin with a little bit of background on measles globally. The burden of measles in 1999 was about 873,000 estimated childhood deaths worldwide, and of which over half were in Africa alone. And it's actually the leading cause of vaccine-preventable childhood mortality in much of the developing world. And why we actually focus on equity in the developing world is it's very important for disease control. Because despite high overall vaccine coverage, you're likely to see outbreaks where there's geographic clustering of measles-susceptible subpopulations, or even if it's, you know, another vaccine-preventable disease, if you have geographic clustering, you're likely to have outbreaks. And it also, case fatality rates are also likely to be higher in children that belong to the poorer households. They also have poor nutritional status, and that exacerbates the mortality impact of contracting measles. Kenya actually currently has one dose of measles vaccine at 9 months of age, which is offered through their routine immunization program. In 2001, their estimated routine coverage, which is commonly reported as coverage with the third dose of the DTP vaccine, was 74%. And about 73% with measles-containing vaccine. So not too bad, but not that good either. So that's their routine program. Because of fairly low coverage and the accumulation of susceptibles over a 2 to 3 year period, Kenya instituted a 5-year plan of action, focusing on the years 2001 to 5, for accelerated measles control. So their strategy was to have an initial catch-up supplemental immunization activity in 2002, this was targeting children aged 9 months to 14 years. And then follow up SIAs every 3 to 4 years, targeting children aged 9 months to 5 years. Based on this plan of action, in June 2002, Kenya conducted a catch-up measles SIA targeting over 13 million children nationwide. So the objectives of this analysis and this presentation are, you know, after the 2002 SIA, among the children aged 9 to 23 months at both the national and provincial levels, we'd like to compare the routine and SIA measles vaccine coverage. This is what you commonly see in public health. You know, you're just comparing coverage pre and post intervention. Also look at the percentage of previously unvaccinated, that is the zero-dose children that were reached by the SIA. And the third one, this is what you don't usually see in the public health literature. It's to compare the equity of measles vaccine coverage achieved by the routine program with that achieved by this intervention, which is the measles SIA. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the methods, and I'll also give you a bit more detail on something called the concentration index, which is a measure used to compare equity. So the data are a national household survey that was conducted after the 2002 SIA to estimate measles vaccine coverage. Our analysis is restricted to about 1,500 children aged 9 to 23 months, so that we could compare between the routine and SIA measles vaccine coverage, because that's the age group that's typically covered by the routine program. So methods are point estimates and 95% confidence intervals, which is what you're used to seeing typically in the public health literature. And we do this by province and by wealth quintile. Wealth quintile is nothing but the population broken up into 5 different strata of wealth status. So you go from the richest, and then you have 3 in between, and then you have the poorest. We also compute the Pearson correlation coefficient between routine measles vaccine coverage and the percentage of zero-dose children reached during the SIA. We do this by province and by wealth quintile. And the third thing, which is sort of an innovation for the world of public health, is we use the concentration index for routine and SIA measles vaccine coverage, both nationwide and for each province, to look at the impact on equity. So I'll give you just a few lines on what this concentration index is. It's a summary statistic that's often used in the economics literature. And in this case, it's been adapted to measure socioeconomic inequities in the health sector. That is, along those 5 wealth quintiles, how is the coverage distributed. And this could range in value from a negative one to a positive one. And in this case, for vaccine coverage, a positive value of the concentration index represents inequity favoring higher wealth groups, which means if the coverage is higher in the richer strata of the population, you will have a positive value of the concentration index. A negative value represents inequity favoring lower wealth groups, which means the poorer sections of society benefit more from this intervention. And a value of zero indicates that there are no inequities in coverage, which means the SIA was able to reach all populations, all segments of the population, irrespective of wealth status. So let's look at the results. The very first one, fairly obvious. It's the normal bar charts with the 95% confidence intervals plotted there. As you can see, there were a few provinces indicated by the asterisk, the eastern, northeastern, Nyanza, Rift Valley, and the western provinces that had significant gains in coverage as a result of the SIA. Nationwide, there was a difference, but not as high as in some of these individual provinces that had very low routine coverage. Again, if you look at it by wealth quintile, certainly it's very obvious that the poorest sections of society benefited the most from this intervention. Had a very low coverage pre-SIA, routine coverage in the poorest section was about 65% before the SIA and nearly 90% after the SIA. And as for the zero-dose children, that's children previously unvaccinated that were reached by this intervention, nearly 10% of those vaccinated during the supplemental immunization activity were actually previously unvaccinated. And it also reached more zero-dose children in provinces with very low routine coverage and children in the lowest wealth quintiles. And this really is the crux of the matter. Oops. So what this graph has is along the x-axis, that's the one below that says measles vaccine coverage among children 9 to 23 months old. That's the average coverage in the population. That's what you're used to seeing in public health. I've added one more dimension, the y-axis, which is a concentration index. So this actually gives you a two-dimensional view of the impact of this campaign on coverage as well as equity. For example, let's look at the nationwide coverage before the campaign. That's going to be that little square in the middle labeled nationwide routine. So nationwide, just a routine program had a coverage of about 70, 75, 77%. And it didn't reach as many people in the poorer sections of society. If you can see, the concentration index is about 0.06, which is way above that line of equality of zero. So, and look what happened as a result of the SIA. If you move, look at this little rectangle shaded dark, labeled nationwide SIA. So as you can see, both coverage that's measured on the x-axis, as well as equity, which is measured on the y-axis, equity has improved and so has coverage. And you will actually notice a clustering of these little shaded triangles, which are really the coverage and the equity associated with the SIA. You can see there's been a uniform improvement across the provinces as well as nationwide. So basically you're moving from, the upper left corner more towards the zero line that's right here and towards 100% coverage. Make sense? Yeah. Okay, so based on the results, we can say that coverage through the SIA was higher in all provinces with routine measles vaccine coverage less than 80%. We saw that in the little bar graph with the 95% confidence intervals. The SIA also reached more zero-dose children in provinces with low coverage and more children belonging to the households in the lowest wealth quintiles. And as I mentioned before, this is very important for disease control because children belonging to households in the lowest wealth quintiles tend to have problems with malnourishment and nutrition is a problem, and that actually exacerbates the impact of measles, causes higher mortality. As a result of this intervention, we can see that fewer susceptible children overall and among the vulnerable poor, and then the population is more resilient to the spread of infection. The provinces with statistically significant increase in coverage as a result of the SIA also had largest improvements in equity. You saw that in that two-dimensional graph that I just reviewed. And overall, higher measles vaccine coverage was associated with greater equity. The exception was, of course, province, with a higher percentage of children in the wealthier quintiles vaccinated. There was a pretty good reason for this. The Coast province has a larger population belonging to some marginal sections of society in Kenya, very poor educational status, and they had a campaign targeting women of childbearing age just a few months before the measles campaign, and there was widely held suspicion that these vaccines may have contained contraceptives. That was a misconception among the community. And there wasn't much support at the provincial level for the measles campaign for them to adequately provide education and knowledge and social mobilization. So that was the reason why I think the information didn't reach the sections of society that it was intended to reach, and you didn't see the poorer sections actually covered by the measles SIA. So what can we conclude? We can conclude that the measles catch-up SIAs in Kenya, they certainly improved nationwide coverage as well as equity among children aged 9 to 23 months. Therefore, narrowed the gap in immunity between rich and poor households. We also saw that the analysis of data at the sub-national level revealed trends that were masked by the national level data. And at least based on the results, you could support continued implementation of measles SIAs in countries with low routine coverage and a high burden of measles. And what has been done in a few countries in Africa is, you know, using the measles SIAs as a platform, delivering other interventions that target the leading causes of childhood mortality. For instance, also distributing deworming tablets, distributing insecticide-treated nets, using this measles SIA as a platform. So it's essentially, it looks like it's reaching the people that it's intended to reach, as you saw, achieving fairly high coverage, 90% and higher. So it seems to be a good way to reach children and deliver other health interventions that also address the leading causes of childhood mortality. Certainly, there are a few limitations. This is a household survey, and we used a combination of cards and recall of vaccination history to compute coverage. That is a drawback. Also, for actual implementation on the ground, the district level may have been a more appropriate level of analysis, but the cost of collecting information at that level for statistically valid estimates was very prohibitive, because there were 78 health districts. It's, you know, it costs a lot of money. And no information was collected on knowledge, attitudes, and practices to explain differences in coverage. As I told you, there was one reason for the low coverage and not such a good impact on equity in the Coast province, but we don't know what the reasons are in some of the other provinces. And this article was actually published in the September issue of Health Policy. I'd like to thank all of my co-authors, both at the WHO, Ministry of Finance and Planning, as well as the Ministry of Health in Kenya. So that's it. Questions? Or maybe we should wait until the end.
Oh, well.